meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord. Amen. A few years ago, we lost our family cat. Now, we had gotten him and his brother, and they were really a joy to have. They brought a lot of humor and joy into our house. They were both kind of a Maine Coon mix, and though Charlie didn't really resemble the breed as much, Fabio did. Now, we lost Charlie after a battle with cancer. And about 2 years later, we lost our Fabio to kidney failure. It was pretty bleak around our house that time, and there was a pretty empty spot in our hearts. So we decided we better fill that. So we went to this place called the Ark. It's a little town, had a rescue place, you know. And we were walking through there, and it looked like to me there were 1,000 cats around, you know. We were trying to see one. And I noticed in a cage there was a black cat. So I went over to see him. And he came right up to me, and we immediately started to play. Not pray, we should have prayed too. And anyhow, needless to say, I got hooked. And we brought Franklin home that day, and I have to say that he is now a 14-pound, spoiled, very spoiled part of our family, and brings us a lot of joy. Now, when it comes to family pets, Franklin has answered the question, are you the one? In today's gospel, we see John the Baptist questioning whether Jesus was really the Messiah. He was the Messiah that he himself had proclaimed at the Jordan River. And he lived, you know, and since that time, John had been arrested by Herod and was placed in prison. And he was living under the sentence of death. Now, probably that's why he was kind of iffy about the thing, you know. Yes, is he the one? John was probably like a lot of people in those days. He was hoping that the Messiah was going to fulfill the concept that the Messiah would depose the Romans, free all the prisoners, including John, and restore the glory days of Israel as it was in the days of King David, where they ruled the world. Like John, we too can find ourselves asking the same question, seeking reassurance, and searching for signs that we have made the right choice, that we have found what we are truly looking for. Now, just as Franklin became the answer as a family pet, so do we look for answers deeper in the questions of life. We too struggle at times to understand why bad things happen to good people. We have trouble accepting evil that is all around us. We worry about what's coming next to challenge us in this life. Will it be a sickness? Will it be a sudden death of a friend or relative or loved one? Will it be an unexpected expense that could leave us destitute? All of these things are part of the sinful world in which we live, so we are always going to be seeking some reason to hope and some place in which we can gain strength to go on with life. Now, when Jesus gives John's disciples a reply to the question, are you the one? His reply really explains the kingdom of the Messiah that he brings and what it's like. Jesus says, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up and the poor have the good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Now, Jesus didn't just say yes or no, I'm the one, but he pointed to the evidence of his work. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news preached to them. These are the signs that echo the prophecies from Isaiah and other prophets, which John was acquainted with and would understand. Isaiah says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Now, he wrote these 700 years before Christ was born. And of course, these words demonstrate the Messiah's kingdom is one of healing, is one of restoration, and is one of hope for all those who are most vulnerable. Jesus' words reassured John, and they should reassure us, that God's plan may be different from what we expect, but it always brings peace, it always brings hope and grace to those who need it the most. As we pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," we, along with John, know that God's plan is better than anything we could imagine. John's question really shows a weakening of faith in God's promise, a condition that's really not uncommon among us all today. Like John, we too wonder if God had forgotten us. But that's part and parcel of being a disciple of Christ, because we too live under the cross. As Paul reminds us in Romans, the Spirit himself bears witness to our spirit, and we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Jesus goes on to tell us more about God's kingdom. He says, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force." Those kind of strange words, but this is what he means. What Jesus is describing is the kingdom of God, who is always at war with the devil. While the devil tries to force his way into the kingdom with false doctrines and prophets, Christ, by his violent death on the cross, has taken the kingdom from the devil and delivered it to us. We as Christian soldiers are going to experience this war.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be pleasing to you. Amen.
We will face battles in our church. We will face battles in our homes. We will face battles in our daily lives. Like John, we will be imprisoned by our doubts. But unlike John, we have a baptism from the Holy Spirit. We have Christ's sacrifice on the cross, in which he gives us his own body and blood to strengthen our faith. He has left his words with us in both written and spoken means. He has given his church the power to call men to announce his absolution and forgiveness of sins to those who repent and confess their sins. His virgin birth, his death on the cross, his resurrection on the third day, and his ascension to the right hand of the Father in heaven assure us of the truth of his promises of eternal life in paradise. Now, in life's journeys, moments of doubt and longing for reassurance are going to come along. But this is not a sign of failure or defeat, but rather they are invitations to seek a deeper faith in the promises of our Lord. John's question reminds us that faith grows stronger when we bring our questions to God. And in prayer, God meets us in our searching and with compassion, offering us a peace which passes all understanding, even though we may not understand the answer he gives. Like John, we can see that by Christ's words and actions, we are invited to renew our confidence in his promise and to remain steadfast as we journey in faith. Advent is a particular time of anticipation, of looking for signs of God's presence in our world and in our own lives. Just as John waited in uncertainty, we too are called to watch and hope, confident that God's promise will be fulfilled. But you can be assured of one thing, and remember this always, that Jesus Christ is the one who has come and the only one we need. And now may the peace of the Lord keep your hearts and minds in true faith until he returns. Amen.